forgot to mention, this is Dr. Park. He's a professor at Pepperdine.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
You know, I'm here to meet, have a supernatural encounter with Jesus as much as you do. I come here because I want to meet Jesus. So can we pray together now that he would meet us? Because if not, this ends up being just a religious activity, and I don't think that's why we're here. So let's ask Jesus to meet us today. Amen. Let's pray together. Let's just, for a couple minutes, let's just pray. If there's anything blocking us from meeting Jesus, let's just, it's our privilege as children of God to repent, and he will forgive so that he can meet us. So let's just pray that God is so good and he wants to meet us today. So let's just pray that he'll come and meet with each of us today. So let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just lift up right now, all of us, Lord God, our body, soul, and spirit, our mind, will, and emotion. Father, I pray that you'd come and meet us here. Take your presence here. Father, we cover this place. Lord, please meet us. Lord Jesus, please meet us. Without you, there is no hope. So, Father, I pray. Lord, please come and share with us. Meet and encounter with us, Lord Jesus. Father, please come and speak with us. Jesus, I pray. So I pray for his presence. Lord Jesus, that would meet us. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for coming and calling to meet with us today. Without you, Father, there is no hope. We thank you. With you, there is everything possible with our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we cover every single inch of this sanctuary by the blood of Jesus. And in Jesus' name, we cleanse and sanctify this time ourselves with the blood of Jesus so that you can meet us, Lord. We're here to meet with you. Thank you for being such a good God. Thank you for being our Savior. And Lord, I pray that you would come and meet with us. Have a supernatural encounter with you that we may live. We may hear your voice and we may feel you. We may touch you and live today, Father. So bless this time together in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 God is good. Amen. 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 He's been really good to me. So is he good?
Yes.
Let's not hold back. Okay. I used to hold back my emotion when I was a child. I don't know what I was waiting for. So I don't wait. I don't save any of my emotion for anything else other than for Jesus. So let's give God our big round of applause and say, God is good. Amen. He's so good to us. He's so good to us. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you for inviting me for this privilege to share my story with you. You know, I don't preach anymore, that much anymore, so this is a great honor and privilege to share up here. Because I don't preach regularly or often, whenever I preach, I ask God, what should I preach? And he says, this is your last sermon. So, whatever you have one thing to say, that's it. There's no part two. There's no, I'll see you next week for the other part of the chapter of the Bible. It's nothing like that. So he says, I need to share as if this is my last. And because of that, it's almost always the same. Almost always the same. And it's about my Jesus. It's about my Jesus. There's nothing else for me to share. So, you know, being a I haven't preached in so long, so I was preparing all this. And this morning my wife said, okay, so what are you going to talk about? So, and I was, you know, being a guy, I think I have a lot of like theological stuff that I prepare. And after, you know, sharing a little bit, my wife said, you know, can you just skip all that theological stuff? Just go straight to Jesus. Just share what he's done for you and for us and who he is. And what has he done for me these days and recently and today? Go straight to the point. So that really caught me off guard because I prepared all this theological stuff and realized. So I had to make a compromise. The compromise was, the truth is, I want to share about what Jesus has done for me. But I said, for 5 minutes, I want to share, as a guy, some theological concepts, which shows why it's always a good idea to go straight to Jesus. Right? So that's my compromise. When God created man in the image of God, God gave man three gifts. Three special gifts. First is a special relationship with him. When he made man and woman in the image of God, he gave us a special relationship with him. Like no other creation. His second gift was he gave us a special life, like no other creation. He gave us a life that he and I, that it's a part of him. He breathed his life into man and woman. Amazing gift. And then the third he gave was also a special gift. And that gift is a freedom of our will. It's a special kind of will that can actually reject this Almighty God. These three special gifts God gave to mankind as an image of God. Now these three gifts, special gifts, can be summarized into only one. And this one is love. Love in a, giving us a special relationship. Special kind of love for you and me. It's the kind of love where God says it's like the parent and a child. No two child are the same. It's a special kind of love that says, and God says in the Old Testament, I betroth you, Israel. One wife, there's no other. That's the special, special kind of love in his relationship he offered us. Second, he gave us a love that is a special kind of love in that he gave us an eternal life. You know, in these days, love, the more you love, it's more painful because that it will end. And that's tragic, but God says, my love for you is that it's never ending. That's the kind of love he gave. And third, it's the kind of love that is not by force. It's special kind of love because I give you the right and the choice to love me or reject me. So he gave us those three special gifts. When God saw this, God saw his creation, he said it was good. But when he saw man and woman, he said it was very good. But sadly enough, when man and woman, when you and I, when we looked at God, when we thought about God, we said, not so good. Or we doubted his goodness. Even today, God looks at you and me and he says, very good. But when we think about God, we doubt his goodness. So the downfall begins because we doubted his goodness. He's hiding something from us. He's not giving us the best. He's treating us like a second class. And we know that's what happens in Genesis chapter 3. When I was doing church in Korea, I met this elder. And this elder was telling us a story of how he came to know Jesus. And this elder said he has this big tree in the backyard. And he was an amateur tree cutter. And he went up there and he was cutting trees, tree branches, until he cut the branch that he himself was standing on, and which he fell and broke all of his back. So he was bedridden for 6 months, and during that time he was listening to a tape because he couldn't move. I think someone gave him the tape, so he had no choice but to listen to the tape, and that's how he came to know Jesus. Right? And that story really tells me of the fate of man. We cut the branch that we were on, right? We cut our own branch, and we fell and rejected the three special gifts that God gave us. And therefore, when we fell, the sin is related to these three special gifts. Did you know that? Because God gave us a special gift of relationship with him, the sin is also relational. In that sin, he divides the relationship that God gave to us. That special relationship and gift he gave us, sin breaks the relationship. God and man and wife, brothers and sisters, family, children and parents, neighbors, and even man and himself, sin severs the special gift of relationship. What else? The sin is like a parasite. It lives off of that special life God had given us as a gift, right? It lives until we die. Until that life is sucked out of us, it lives off of the special gift that God has given us. In our body, soul, and spirit, we become diseased as a result of sin. In the spirit, we become diseased in that now instead of God, we are filled with idols. Instead of God, our spirit is infected with the disease of idolatry. What about our soul? Disease of our soul, our mind, is filled with diseases and corruption, our emptiness and meaninglessness. Our envy and hate and greed and lust and distractions of our mind, all the worries and all the anger, all the hurts. These are all the diseases that live off of our soul. What about our body, as we know? Right? Our body is dying. Our body is dying. Third, special gift. God had given us the will. The sin infects that as well. Now we are a slave, no longer free. we are a slave to sin. So this is the condition. And as a result of this falling from the tree by cutting off our own branch that we were sitting on, four things have happened as a consequence. The Bible says, cursed is the ground. So now we have to fight to live, make a living. It wasn't like that. You know, I teach at the business school, and every single business school student knows how competitive it is nowadays to even to find a job. This world is so hard to just get a job, so competitive. Everywhere you look, it's your competitor. Just to make a living, it is becoming harder and harder. Cursed is the ground. Second, conflicts in relationships and marriages. Everywhere you find, everywhere you look, relationships broken. Third, naked, we need a covering. We lost our covering. We're searching to cover something, the deep-seated insecurity that we all feel. And fourth, death entered. If you look around, our world is broken. I'm broken. People are broken. And our response to this brokenness, what is our response to this brokenness? Desperate to find a career, to make a living, so hard. Desperate to keep our marriage. Desperate, hoping that you'll meet that love of your life, right? Desperate that we think that in that person, special person, somehow we will find true meaning. You know, one of the things I ask my students is I give them an index card and say, can you write down for me in 5 years, what would you like to be doing? And what do you think you'll be doing to for your life to be happy? Right? Imagine your life having a really happy life. What is it? And write it, because I want to pray for you. And, you know, and so many of them write. You know, in the classroom, they're just like student, I'm teacher, I'm teaching them the subject. But when they write in this card, they write what's in their heart, right? Because in their mind, they write, this is what I think I need to get happy, to get happy. And most of them, so many of them, are hoping to meet that right person to have a happy family. Desperate inside for the right relationship. And naked, we feel so insecure. All of us feel so insecure, fundamentally. What can we do to make ourselves not insecure? And fourth, death. There is so much health craze. I don't know if, especially among Koreans, it's just all about health craze. And these days, I get, as I get older, I don't know how they know it, but I receive these emails every single day. Five symptoms of you're about to have a heart attack, or three, you know, reasons why you might have diabetes. This is every day in my email box, right? So I am thinking, I am reminded I am dying, and I might be dying. And there are symptoms that I know I have, which I don't want to click that email because I know I must have all of these, right? And that's happening to me, right? Fact of the matter is that we are all, we feel this brokenness. And what is our response to this? Many ways. What is your response to this? Yeah. Get a better job, go to a better school, find that right person. Do many things so that we'll have purpose to cover up our insecurity. How can I live longer? Right? What can I do? What I teach at Pepperdine is I teach real estate. And one of the famous person from Southern California, he was a big successful real estate person. He recently donated us money to start this institute. So I teach there. He's in my view, an example of somebody's response to this kind of a being aware of this broken life and brokenness. Anyway, it's all of a sudden, last week, he passed away. So he passed away, and so I had to go to his funeral. And he was Jewish. It was a big, huge synagogue in LA downtown that he was part of. But his response to us, he's from a really poor family. So he fought and struggled, you know, to become successful. Even if it's unsavory, it didn't matter. When you're desperate, you'll do anything to survive. And that was the beginning of how he started his business. He had a failed marriage, right? Several, and he was always telling me how much it costs on his divorce proceedings. Several millions just on the legal fees alone. Right. Three, as he got older, he felt meaningless more and more. So he started donating money because he said, I need to leave a legacy. Right? And fourth, he died. So I go to his funeral, but really, this was his final. The final song before they carry his body out and they hire this singer to sing a final song as a tribute to him. And they sang, I did it my way. I mean, I've heard that in sermons before, but I never knew that people actually sing that. And everyone was saying, he did it his way. And that's probably a man's response to this situation. What about God's response to this broken situation? As it turns out, this is what makes me so excited, as it turns out. But in addition to those three gifts, guess what? He had a fourth gift in mind. And fourth gift was even better than the three gifts. And you know what I'm talking about, right? He gave us Jesus. And that was the fourth gift. And that was better than anything we could have possibly imagined. But in a couple of ways, I think it's very different from the first three gifts. First, how is it different? One, it was costly. First three gifts, he did it and he said it was very good. But this gift, for God, it was very, very costly. In Matthew 13:44, there's a parable of hidden treasure. This is what it says. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. As you know, in the Bible, when you talk about a man and a field, it's always about the man is Jesus, and the field is the world. And the Bible says here in this parable that he sold all that he has. So from God's perspective, it was everything. There's nothing more. There's a parable right after that. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Once again, extremely costly to give us this gift. It was so amazing that people rejected it. And oftentimes we reject, even now, this as well. God says, I withhold nothing. You doubted my love. You doubted my goodness. And when Jesus was hanging naked on that cross, I think God said, I hold nothing back. And you are special. You are special because Jesus came as man, just like you and me. He didn't come as an animal. He didn't come as an angel. He came as a man to tell us and show us how special you and I are. Isn't God so good? God says there's nothing more I can give you. I paid everything in exchange for you. What more can he give? Jesus, that's it. There's nothing more. No more. Is Jesus enough for you?
Amen.
It's not enough for you. Is it enough for me? Is Jesus enough? God says, there's nothing more I can give you. I paid it all. Right? And people came and asked Jesus and said, can I have some? All this crowd was coming to Jesus and Jesus said, me, that's it. This is the best possible thing, most costliest thing that God can give. Right? But sometimes it's not enough. Sometimes not enough. But this fourth gift, I'm here to tell you something. It is enough.
Yes.
Jesus is enough.
Yes.
In Hebrew and Greek, there's one word in the Bible that has 10 meanings. And this word has this meaning. All of these meanings together. Rescue, freedom and liberty, protection and safety, prosperity, victory, health, wholeness, preservation, defense, security. One word has all these 10 meanings. Do you know what that word is? It's Jesus. It's Jesus. You know, all my life, I thought God gave me salvation. For 30 years, I was happy with His salvation. But only later, God showed me He gave me more than salvation. You know what? He gave me a Savior.
Yes.
Which is a lot more than salvation.
Amen.
Although various times I experienced all of this, He showed me, no, I gave you a lot more than what you think you got. I gave you Jesus. There's a parable of 10 lepers, if you look at in Luke chapter 17. 10 of them were healed, but only one met the healer.
Yes.
How many times in my life, brothers and sisters, I was happy to be rescued, but never sought after the rescuer. I was happy to be set free, but never gave thanks to the one who set me free. I was happy to be protected, but never found out who my protector was. I was happy and sought after healing, but never went to the healer and acknowledged who he was to me. Jesus is everything because he's alive.
Yes.
That's why he's everything. Amen?
Amen.
Why does it take me 30 years to realize this? But it is true. It is true. This is a secret to Christian life. Don't live like how I have lived. You know what the secret to Christian life is? It's Jesus.
Yes.
It's obvious, right? But not so obvious to me. Seeking Jesus and Jesus alone. Why? Because everything is in Jesus. And apart from Jesus, there is nothing. There is nothing. And so I want to share with you just a little bit of why this change, what God showed me in my life, right? How that plays out. How do I experience Jesus that way in my life? First of all, let's just start with my body, right? Body. I want to just share with you a few of my testimonies of what I'm going through, and hopefully some of you can also take it and apply it to your life. Until when I began to follow after Jesus and Jesus alone, I began to realize, just simple, I used to be really, really fat, by the way, if you didn't know that, because my body was not really important to me, I thought. I didn't take care of it. But body as a temple of His Holy Spirit, God began to convict me. I need to take care of my body. So whether it's coming and losing 25 pounds, 30 pounds, whether it's just disciplining, because more I seek Jesus, I am convicted. God says, you need to do this for Him. I'm not a morning person. But now, God inspired me to wake up early in the morning because He wants to meet me. He wants to meet me. What else is there? Before, I wasn't like this. I thought I can just pray anytime, anywhere, lying on the bed. But more and more, God says, the least I can do is bend my knees when He wants to meet me. So my body, God teaches me, humble yourself, get on your knees, and meet God in my body. What about my soul? Just one example. My mind, through my years of going around and doing ministry, etc., I had a lot of anxieties. I'm sure we all share, and lots of anxious thoughts. More and more, as I seek Jesus, I find myself, instead of doing stuff outside, I find myself doing a lot more worshiping on my own and praying on my own, because He's real and He's alive. He's my Savior. He says, come to me with all of your burdens. He will give me rest, and I need that rest in Jesus Christ. And my kids tell me I'm less grumpy.
Amen.
I'm happier, and I must tell you, I am happier than ever before in my life because of Jesus. Because of Jesus. Peace of Christ in me. Right? And that's a fruit that I cannot fake. There are a lot of things I can fake in my life. I can have a fake ministry. I can have a fake fruit in my life. I can do a lot of things, man-made fruit. But all I know is that the more and more I seek Jesus, He's producing in me fruit that belongs to Christ and Christ alone. So I'm so thankful for that. Thankful for that. What about relationships? You know, when I was really busy doing my ministry everywhere, to tell you the truth, my relationship with my wife, not so good. Relationship with my kids, not so good. I'm just a strict religious dad, right? Don't do this, do this, don't do this, right? I'm raising my kids in religiosity. My mom and dad living apart. My brothers and sisters, we don't talk to each other. My sisters and my parents never really talk to each other. And while we're all deacons and elders and ministers committed for full-time ministry, this is what's happening, right? Doesn't make sense, does it, right? But I thought, what's wrong with that? Jesus and Jesus, we're going to go to all these countries and go to mission field. But as I sought after Jesus, and Jesus alone, He began to restore these relationships in my life. Right? I think I shared with you last time what happened in terms of relationship. What I could not do, I couldn't do for 15 years. When Jesus came to my family, literally, He restored our relationship in one night.
Wow.
And that's why that challenged me so much. I ended up leaving Ray. because of that. Because I said, I need to find God. I need to find God more. When Jesus meets you, when you have an encounter with Jesus, right, relationships get restored. Even my children testify, Mom and Dad, you don't fight anymore. Right? My brother and my sisters, we've made up because of Him. Right? And God began to restore more and more authority, spiritual authority as a father in my own family when I sought after that living Jesus. My sisters, my brother, we had a really bad relationship with our father. But I think I shared with you last time God's conviction of needing to restore. And my sister had, it's a long story, but she got lung cancer, spread to all of her brain. But God spoke to her, and she spoke to her in vision. And there was one day, she had 3 weeks or maybe 3 months to live because all the cancer spread to her brain, all of her, there's nothing the doctors could do. And she had this amazing, amazing reconciliation with our father, who was not a believer. And my sister came back to me afterward and said, look, Abraham, I decided to forgive my dad. Nothing he does anymore. I don't care. I know he loves me. You know. And the following week, cancer was completely gone. God healed her. Amen. She lives down the street. Right? She folded her medical practice, finding out what can she do to serve God. But it's not the healing, but it's the healer. Amen? Amen? In Jesus, you have that. More and more. And kids now, my children, can you believe it? When they're in trouble, they come and ask me for prayer. Praise God for that, because that wasn't happening before. But they say, you know, we need to pray. When they're sick, they don't say, let's go talk to a doctor. Let's say, Dad, can you pray? Right. That I cannot force my kids to say, right? Those are just a few of my testimonies these days. What about my will? Weak-willed. Did you know that I'd much rather be a human than an angel? Any day. You know why? Because God says, because human beings, you know what? This is great news for you and me. We can repent. I don't read anywhere. He says Satan one day repented and said, Lord, it's my fault. Okay? That option is not given. The only option that's given to is you and me. You know why? Because Jesus, our Lord and Savior, came as a man.
That's right.
And He died to give us that privilege to repent. So now when I sleep, my prayer is that before I die, that I repent of everything, every single sin I've ever done in my life. Because God, if I repent through Jesus, He forgives everything. Isn't that good news?
Yes.
Tonight, before you go to bed, I pray that you repent of every single sin that's blocking you and Him. Because you know what? He'll forgive. That's the privilege of child of God. Repentance. Right? So I have that will to go to my Father and say, I'm sorry. And He will forgive. One last thing I want to share with you, especially in this area, is my calling. Before I committed my life to be a pastor, I thought I was called. And I lived for that calling, as you know. When I first came to this church, I loved the church. I was part of the same church. We've been part of this church for so long. But looking back, I must tell you, I loved my church more than Jesus. I loved my calling a lot more than Jesus. I wanted to go on missions a lot more than I loved Jesus. I love people way more than Jesus, for sure. I love the fellowship time far more than Jesus. I love myself a lot more than Jesus. And, you know, God showed me, did you? You must have known, because you have excellent pastor. But at least for me, I didn't know that all of these things can be an idol before God. I didn't know church can be an idol before God. I didn't know ministry can be an idol. I did not know mission can be an idol. I did not know calling can be an idol. But God showed me anything and everything that is not Jesus eventually becomes an idol. There's nothing like Jesus. And now I know that. Well, you know why? Because only Jesus is a living one. Amen?
Amen?
Everything else dies with time. So really one of the saddest thing at that time, one day, was God really spoke to me and said, I did not call you to be a pastor. And that was one of the saddest times. Because for me, I thought being a pastor was it. You know, for me, that was the highest, the best expression. But God said, even that calling, wanting to be a pastor, God said, you need to surrender. It's not about your calling or a pastor, but it is about obeying my Lord Jesus Christ. So he says, obey me. So he put me as a teacher. And I thought, I don't want to be a teacher at this university. I don't want to go do this. I got to go do stuff at church. So I think that was my mind, but God really changed that. God showed me how much none of my students will ever come to this church. But God, his heart was for them as well. And he said, can you show Jesus to them who will never come to your church, who will never know anything except you showing Jesus to them? So this was a big change for me. I've never done it. But one day I did it. I said, Lord, if you want me to, this classroom is my church. For one semester, I am their pastor. They don't even know it. But I'll do my best. You know, in those settings, the only way for me to evangelize, to show Jesus in my life. That's the only way. But praise God. God shows me favor. God shows so much favor in my classrooms. More than anyone else's. I didn't do it. He did it. I know for sure now that his heart is for me to take Jesus to them. Because I can't take the church to them. They'll never come. But there are some people, God still wants them to save them. He says, take Jesus to them. So in my capacity, that's what I do. On Sunday, we come to worship. But rest of the day, it's all of us doing ministry where God sends you. Amen? Unless you love Jesus, God cannot give them hope. They'll never come to church. But you can take Jesus to them. And I do my best to take Jesus to them. Those are a few of my testimonies. There's a lot more. And my approach has changed as well. People used to always ask me so much advice, and I love giving them advice. Right? Oh, you got to do this. You got to get a job this way, resume this way, business this way. But now, a lot less than that, right? I say now, really, let's ask Jesus. You know why? Because he's God and I'm not, right? Before, I don't think I ever believed it somehow, because I don't know why I tried to solve everyone's problems. I cannot, but God, Jesus can. Amen? That was my short testimony, but I want to encourage you. Try this out until anniversary number 4. Every day, seek Jesus. Ask God, can you meet me through Jesus? Encounter Jesus. And experience for yourself that he is more than... He's a healer. He's a rescuer. He's a redeemer. He's a savior. He's your Lord. He makes your life whole. He brings health to your body, soul, and spirit, and your family, and your relationships. He brings forgiveness through his Jesus. You know, these days at churches, people don't even pray in Jesus' name anymore. So sad, right? They don't know the power of the name of Jesus. People don't talk about the blood of Jesus anymore. You know why? They don't know the power of the blood of Jesus anymore. And let's not be like that. For 1 year, I promise you, trial and error. Cling to Jesus in everything. And I say, I don't want healing, I want the healer.
Yes.
I don't want a job, I want the provider.
Amen.
For every single of my needs. And I believe he'll meet you. And you'll come to know him as a living and active and a loving Father who is so good that he withheld nothing to give you that fourth gift. I hope that we never doubt ever again, this includes me. When God looked at us, he said, very good. Never again will we ever think about God and not say, God, you are so good. Because you gave us Jesus. He gave me Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Praise Jesus. Praise Amen Jesus. To God. I hope you meet him every day for the rest of your lives. Amen?
Amen?
And grow in Jesus. Let's pray. Father, from all the littlest things in our lives to the biggest things, Jesus, you are more than conqueror. More sufficient than I ever imagined. You are the victor in every aspect of our lives. Thank you for being my Lord. Thank you for being that gift. Thank you for not withholding anything to give us this special gift. I want to just acknowledge you to you, O Lord. Jesus is enough for every need. Father, I pray that blessing over every single person here of Hill Community and Friendship Baptist Church. Jesus is enough because He's alive and He's God. And nothing is impossible with our God. And I pray that this whole year that you would meet every single brother and sister here every day, encounter of Jesus Christ. And that our faith will grow. Our faith will grow and will be the hope of our generation. May this church be the kind of church that when people who are searching for Jesus comes here and finds you. May Friendship Baptist be the kind of church when people are hungry and thirsty for the answer, they come and find Jesus here. We bless this place. We bless this time. We bless these churches to you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.